Honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes in a different angle today with a veteran not from the World War II generation like usual, but this time a decorated veteran who served in Vietnam. Jack Craig of Bakersfield, California was honored 4 times with the Bronze Star and was wounded twice in Vietnam.
So this second time when you're shot in the shoulder, if you hadn't turned, it probably would have killed you. But still, you're shot in the shoulder. Then the grenade, you got shrapnel all over your back. How do you get out of there?
I laid down. I stayed there for a while, probably about 2 or 3 minutes, and that's when the other guy that was the point man recognized that I was down, and he recognized, there was a break in the shooting, and he grabbed a hold of me and just him and I ran to the, back far enough away to where we could get down behind a berm.
Could you feel all that pain?
My adrenaline was so high, I didn't feel a damn thing.
Wow. But eventually you probably did.
Oh, I did. I did about an hour, hour and a half later. I was hurting pretty bad. That's when the medic came and gave me the shot of morphine with his dirty needle.
And in your understanding, it was that dirty needle that left you with
hepatitis.
What we call now hepatitis C.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably the origins of the liver cancer that you're battling now.
Yes.
Does that make you angry?
No, because I know that the Army kicked him out and put him in Leavenworth Prison.
Really?
The medic, yeah.
Wow.
Because I was not the only one that he did it to. He would take the morphine and he would take it out of the vial and shoot himself up. And then he would fill the vial with water and use that on us.
Oh, man. What about your recovery? What was that like? How long did that take?
About 50 years.
Still working on it, you're saying?
Yeah, I go to a group counseling every Wednesday for PTSD. Mm. And I've calmed down an awful lot because I know that I have the cancer and there isn't anything I can do with it. They can't treat me because my blood levels are all screwed up. And they say it's unsafe to do any procedures because of my blood levels. And so I'm taking my oncologist's word for it that it's going to be, he says it's a very slow, they're slow growing tumors. So I'm expecting another 3 to 4 years, okay? I want to see 70, and I want to see my granddaughter graduate from high school. After that, I just want to be there for her.
And her is your wife of 38 years, Carol?
Yes. Yeah. We've been actually together 40.
Yeah?
I met her at Fort Ord. She was painting her car in a body shop, and I was taking a class at the body shop to learn how to fix cars, because I could tear a car apart mechanically, but I never could really make it look pretty.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to learn how to paint.
Yeah.
She wanted to change the color of her Lotus.
Uh-huh.
From green to orange, because orange was her race car's color.
And that's been a shared interest of yours ever since. You guys have some classic cars you go to display at car shows?
Mm-hmm.
What's your number one of all time?
My number one car?
Yeah.
I'll take my 67 Camaro. Uh-huh. Convertible. It's always been kind of a dream car of mine. I wanted a Corvette back in 64, but I couldn't afford such a thing. That was way too expensive a car back then. And I know I can't afford one now because I don't have $150,000 to throw at a car. But I saw that Camaro. 67 red RS convertible V8. Automatic with the hidden headlights. That was one of the cars I remember seeing in 1967 when I graduated from high school.
Yeah.
That was one of the cars that I remember seeing and liking a lot because it was the poor man's Corvette.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, or see something that isn't there, but it almost sounds like you're saying that car takes you back in time to before everything you went through in Vietnam and how that changed your life.
Oh, yeah, it does. I go out there and I'll sit and I can go out there and just stare at it. Carol likes it. She drove it around town for quite a while before I started tearing it apart and redoing it. But I've tore it apart and redone it. Yeah, it's up about 350.
Is that all?
Horsepower.
Vroom, vroom.
It's a four-speed automatic transmission with a beefed-up torque converter for drag racing. It's got a QA1 racing suspension all the way around.
Sounds like you should take it out to Famoso and put the pedal to the floor.
I won't do that because I do not want to tear it up.
Yeah, which would be unavoidable at that point. One thing I want to ask you, and thank you for being so candid about all of this, because I think it helps a lot of people understand. And there are a lot of guys out there like you who maybe experienced similar things, who felt similar things, who felt that nobody wanted to hear it, and they haven't talked about it. So you talking about it is really powerful and really meaningful for a lot of them. And thank you for serving our country. Thank you for going through what you did on our behalf. What is the number one thing that you think people today, because a lot of folks listening right now, they weren't even alive when this was going on. What do you think they need to know about you and all those other guys who were over there, like you said, following orders and doing what your government asked of you?
They need to recognize that it is part of being American and living in this free world. People like me and the other guys that went over there, the ones that came home, the ones that died, we were doing this to preserve our freedoms that we have. And the thing that I want all of these people to understand as I'm talking to them or as they're hearing me is that respect each other. Don't this gangs and drugs, all that does is destroy the person, and it destroys society in general. And they need to stop and go back. And the one thing they need to learn, the same thing that we did from our parents and our grandparents, that you treat everybody as you want to be treated by them. And if you want to be bullied, then bully someone. Or if you want to kill someone, stand in front of them and hand them the gun. You know, it's something that people have to do to maintain their sanity. And people like myself, we all learned, because we were forced to, grow up fast,
yeah,
grow up responsibly, and do better things for other people.
And that's why you and your wife, among other things, have sponsored a couple of police canines for the Bakersfield Police Department. I know there are a lot of different things that you've been involved in.
Well, 13, 14 years in car shows.
Yeah.
Hosting and running registration and stuff like that. So
let me ask you this, because I'm sure you spend some time thinking about your legacy when you face a diagnosis like the one you have, and the future, and that time clock, which is always uncertain for all of us, maybe seems a little more certain to you. What are you most proud of when you think about the time that you spent in the Army and the fact that you went over there and did what you did with other guys doing the same thing? What are you most proud of?
That I survived and I found my beautiful, wonderful wife. And she has been a godsend to put up with me for the 40 years that we've been together. Because she's the most important part of my world right now. And that's the main reason I'm living.
Couldn't say that any better. I guess the last question I have, I'm thinking Veterans Day obviously is a special day for you. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Memorial Day, when you think about those names on the wall that you're going to go see. But what does Independence Day mean to you? When July 4th rolls around every year, as a Vietnam veteran, a wounded Vietnam veteran, and decorated Vietnam veteran, what does the 4th of July mean to you?
It's a day that America declared its freedoms, independence, of being oppressed, by other countries, and it's also it's a day to salute this country. And quite honestly, the first 10 years I have from when I got home from Vietnam, I hated 4th of July because all the firecrackers, they scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, I bet.
And I would hit the floor.
I believe
I'd be walking down the street and somebody would shoot off a firecracker and I'd fall on the sidewalk. Yeah. But no, it's important. It's a celebration of our freedoms. It's not just a day to set off fireworks. It's a celebration of our freedoms that we have earned and that we are able to pass along to our children and grandchildren. It's like I have a daughter who went in the service but couldn't complete it because of medical reasons. And I have a granddaughter that's 16, and she is absolutely beautiful. And my daughter is a computer technician, does exactly the same job I did for 32 years with IBM.
Yeah.
She does the same thing for Toshiba. In fact, she was hired to go to work for Toshiba by IBM. And she sat at my desk and gave me hell because I left too much trash on my desk.
That's funny.
But Independence Day to me is a day to share my freedoms with my family.
Well said. Was there anything else I didn't ask you about that you wanted to get in there?
No, I said it all. Like I say, I am not anywhere and would not be anywhere if it hadn't been for her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that I made it through Vietnam and I made it through the service is a miracle because I was one hell of a screw-up. But she straightened me out, and we've been together 40 years, and I swear to God, that's what I'm going to miss when I die.
After hearing Jack's transparent tale today, I hope you'll join me in praying he gets more than those 3 or 4 years his oncologist projects, more opportunities to share his story with others, and more time to enjoy family and the fruit of his labor with police canines. I mentioned he and Carol have covered the costs for 2 dogs for the Bakersfield Police Department, and they're excited because Bakersfield is hosting the canine trials on July 8th and 9th. They'll be at Rabobank Arena with police dogs and their trainers from all over the state of California competing. If that's something that's up your alley, make your way to Bakersfield and keep an eye out for Jack. Maybe you'll have the chance to shake his hand and thank him yourself for his service to our country. We're out of time on Hometown Heroes for today. Hope you have a wonderful 4th of July. I'm Paul Leffler, encouraging you to remember on Independence Day and every day that freedom is not free.